Somebody did, actually did ask me the shaila this week. I wasn't sure whether they were really asking it lemaisa, or they were asking it more theoretical. So I was having annoying. Can I officially justify this as a topic for a shaila of the week? I said, okay, we'll make a suffix shaila kula. So we have a right to call it a shaila of the week as well. So basically, the person's formulation of the shaila was as follows. They said they don't understand that when a person walks into a fruit store in America, you go on Newbridge Road, you go to the farm, and you go and you pick apples and pears and whatever other fruits you're buying, how come nobody ever heard of Orla? How come nobody ever is careful to ask, are these fruit come from the first 3 years of a fruit tree? How come we don't follow this practice? We don't follow this bit anymore. So the initial reaction would be, what do you mean? Chutzlaret, is an Orla agricultural mitzvah? The person was already advanced enough to formulate the question, it's better than that. The person formulated the question was saying, well, wait a second. The Mishnah says explicitly in Maseches Kedushin that Orla does apply in Chutzlaret. You want to know back to square one? If Orla really applies to Chutzlaret and Isser to eat fruit in the first 3 years of the tree, how come nobody ever heard of this? Nobody ever follows this. It doesn't understand the Hashkochas that's free from Orla. How do you know? Maybe there's a problem with Orla. It's not always true, especially this Manazah. There's a lot of ways to get things to produce things quicker than they did in time. So there is fruit out there that is edible. No question, there is fruit that is edible. So the question is, what happened to the midst of Orla? The month of Shach, does Orla apply Chutzlaret or doesn't apply Chutzlaret? So it's interesting, I had two different shilas, one this week, one last week, which were related to this drawing the line of what's considered to be a mitzvah of Chutzlaret or not. One of my nieces called me from California, and she was learning in school in Parshas Kedoshim about olos. Olos is when you have a vineyard, so you have to leave the grapes that are not so many, a little shvach of grapes. If you don't have a whole cluster of grapes, just a little grape here and there, you have to leave that over to the end. So her teacher sent me on a project to try to find out, do we do this bismanazanah? Does anybody fulfill this mitzvah of olos today? So I explained to her that absolutely, the mitzvah of olos applies even bismanazah. So the only reason why you probably never heard of it in California is because it doesn't apply in California. It only applies in Eretz Yisrael. It's a mitzvah from Libarth. It's an agricultural-based mitzvah. And then I said, and by the way, I had the special schus 2 years ago to fulfill the mitzvah of olos, and I had a video of it. Me and my son had gone out to one of the vineyards outside Yerushalayim, and we had bought a share of the vineyard, and we went to fulfill the mitzvah of olos. So the mitzvah of olos could still be fulfilled in this time. But back to that story in terms of orla, it's almost a man of shach. Does orla apply to chutzlaret? It doesn't apply. The mission seems to say it applies, yet no one ever heard of it today in chutzlaret. So the answer to this question actually appears, we go back with a little bit of the Maamar Kamos. These Maamar Kamos were originally prepared for a different shiur where it came from a different angle. So we're going to go a little bit out of order today. It's on the third of the Maamar Kamos, where the Gemara in Kedushin of Lamed Tes, the Na'af tells us, Amar B'Asi, Amar B'Yochanan, Orla B'chutz La'aretz Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. What is the source for the fact that Orla applies in Chutz La'aretz? The Pasuk says, Chisavo La'aretz. The Mishnah tells us that all agricultural mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael. So how come Orla is the exception to this? How come Orla does, in fact, apply Chutzlaret? So Rabbi Yochanan says it must have been a tradition. It must have been Halacha Moshe M'Sinai, that not to say the fact that it's agricultural base. Only Rabbi Zeir Rabbi Asi, Rabbi Zeir posed the challenge Rabbi Asi, but Tani, we learned in the Braisa, Sufik Orla, Ba'aretz Asur, B'Suria Mutar. If you have a questionable Orla, I'm not sure whether this particular food is Orla or not, so in Eretz Yisrael it's a problem. But in Syria is a tricky land, Kishmo Kedem in Syria, that area of the world, which is not quite full-fledged Eretz Yisrael. On the other hand, it's not full-fledged Chutzlaret either. The reason why it has such a questionable status is because it's land that was conquered by David HaMelech, but it wasn't conquered in the proper way. It wasn't conquered based on the regular protocols of doing Kibush Aretz, and therefore it falls short in terms of being full-fledged Eretz Yisrael. So basically, the Braita tells us if you have a suffix of Orla in Eretz Yisrael, then you have to be Machmir. If you have a suffix Orla in Syria or in Chutzlar, it's for sure, and you're the locate, then it's okay, then it's fine. Wait a second, asks Rabbi Zeir, if you're going to tell me that Orla Chutzlar is min HaTorah, it's Halacha Moshe B'Sinai, why don't we apply the rule of Sveker Deraisa B'Chutzlar? We all know that whenever there's a Torah-based law, so the suffix in a doubt, you have to be Machmir. And whenever there's a Derabbanan Tikadin, then you always have a right to be Mekel. So if Rabbi Asi and Rabbi Yochanan are right, that oil in chutzlars is really halacha mashem sin, and that means it's deraisa. What right do you have to be making me suffake? So Rabbi Asi thought this was a great question. It took him an hour to think about what the answer was. And Amalei finally answered, no, there's only one way out of this problem. Kach im kach nema, sveika muta v'da ozer. That there are actually two parts of the halacha mashem sin about oil in chutzlars. One is that it's ozer, and number two is that sveika is a mutter. So we thought originally that if it's deraisa, how can it be mutter misafek? The Gemara says no. That's the way it was. That was nimsa the Moshe Rabbeinu that oil is chutzlars is also, but it was also nimsa with that condition. It's only if it's 100% certain that it's oil. If you don't know that it's going to be okay, and that's again that's only true for oil is chutzlars. So before we can understand how this plays out for us, halacha maizeh.
That in the halacha itself,
or where there's the halacha mashmash. So the Ram, right, but here there's no halacha. Here there isn't the halacha. Everyone's agreeing. I mean, not everyone. There's one day that says it wasn't a halacha mashmash today. The Rambam has a chiddush. The Rambam writes that whenever something has a halacha, then you know for certain it's not a halacha mashmash today. So even the Rambam would agree. What that means is that you can't have one person saying it is a halacha and the other person denying it. You can have a halacha about details of the halacha. That would be acceptable, even according to the Rambam. To get back to that story, so the bottom line is there are two parts of Allah Moshe Mesinai, that Orlus Chutzlars is also, and Suffolk Orlus Chutzlars is in fact Mutter. So there is a very, very famous question that is posed based on this sugya, and the answer to this question is going to explain what's going on in our stores. Why is it we walk around shopping in America and nobody thinks about oil anymore? If we take a look at the Rambam, we're going backwards to the second of the Rambam Kamos. The Rambam Menuchas Tumas Meis, Perek Tes Loch Yedeis, is discussing a particular case of a tumah safek, a particular case where we're not sure whether the person became tumah meis, didn't become tumah meis. So comes the Rambam and says, Dovi Yadua, it is a known piece of information. Apparently it wasn't so Yadua because the Rashi and the Rambam disagreed, but the Rambam considered it to be Dovi Yadua. Dovi Poshad Ad Ma'oid, Shekol Eilu HaTumos V'chayotze Ben Shemishim Safek, Harein Shal Divrayim. All cases of tumah safek. Whenever we say to a person, we're not sure what your status is, if you're tummy, we don't know what to do with you, so we suffix, we're going to be machmir. You know, says the Rambam, that's only chumah midirabbanan. The ain tummy min ha-toyre el-anisha nitra to his vaday. Says the Rambam, that in order to be called tummy midiraisa, it has to be 100% you touched the vase, you're in the room of the mace, you touched the sheretz, you touched the nevela. If you have any sveikas whatsoever, all sveikas are mutar min ha-toyre. Then the Rambam not only has that all-encompassing statement, that all suffix tumors are mutter min haTorah. Then the Rambam goes even 10 steps further. And he says, Aval kol ha-sveikis, all sveikis in halacha, dein b'tumas, dein b'machos asuras, dein b'arayas, v'shavosos, ein lohem elami divrei soifrim. Says the Rambam that all sveikis, v'shayla nuchos Shabbos, v'shayla nuchos kashas, v'shayla nuchos nida, you name it, all sveikis are all mutter midaraisa. We have a rule called Sveika Deraisa L'Chumra. Rambam argues that rule itself is a Chumra Midrabanim. It means Chazal said, don't rely on Sveika as being Mutter. But if you ask Moshe Rabbeinu, I have a piece of meat in front of me, it's a 50-50 chance it's Chazal. I have absolutely no idea. I have a 50-50 chance it's Bas L'Chav. I have no idea. It's Mutter L'Chad Chilim in Atar to eat it. Because all Sveika are Mutter in Atar. So needless to say, this Rambam is a very, very big Chiddush. And many of the Rishonim, probably most of the Rishonim disagree with it. If you take a look, the Ravid, three lines on the bottom of this Rambam, the Ravid says, "W do Omer Ram Zel Shibush Gadol." He says it's a big mistake, not a little mistake. It's a big mistake. Shrei Omer Bekam Akayim Sveikin Deraisa L'Chumra Sveikin Deraban L'Kula. Says the Ravid, "What are you talking about? Chazal say Sveikin Deraisa L'Chumra. How can the Rambam say what he said?" The answer is, we're not sure why the Ravid kasha was. The Rambam also agrees Sveikin Deraisa L'Chumra mid the Rabbana. The Rambam agrees that of course L'Maisi have to be Noyeg. L'chumra by deraisas, but the fact that you have to be neg l'chumra by deraisas itself is only a chumra midirabban. But I hope the Rambam sticks to this position that all sveikas are mutter min haTorah. Now we have a very, very serious question. According to the Rambam, the starting point of all of halacha is that all sveikas are mutter min haTorah. Safik chazes, safik treifes, safik shabbos, safik arayas, everything is mutter, all sveikas are mutter min haTorah. So why in the world does the Gemara tell us in Maseches Kedushin, the sugya we just read, that there's a special halacha l'Moshe Mesinai that suffik orlos chutzlars is mutter? What do I need that special halacha l'Moshe Mesinai for? Why is it orlos chutzlars subject to the regular rules of sveikas? All sveikas are mutter. The Bishlam, according to the Ravid and the Rashba and the Ran, all the other Rishonim hold, they're all speakers of Rosh Hashanah Torah. So I understand the necessity for that halacha Moshe Mitzvah Orla, because unlike Chazir and Avelis and Trepas and Shabbos and Nida and Kedushin, unlike all Kol Torah Kula, that the speakers are awesome in a Torah, this case of all of Kol Torah is a quirk. It's suffix, it's going to be mutter. But according to the Rambam, that all speakers are mutter. There's not a quirk here. There's nothing special. There's no chiddush here. So Imkein, my honey land halacha Moshe Mitzvah. Why does the Gemara say that? No, kachnem halacha Moshe Mitzvah. Speakers are mutter. Kachnem halacha Moshe Mitzvah. I know it anyway. I could have figured it out on my own. No worse than any other speakers in halacha. But it's a huge, huge problem with Das Rambam. So what's the answer to the Shittas Rambam? How can the Rambam go ahead and tell us that all speakers are mutter in the Torah? And by the way, something is new about Orla. What is it about Orla? What is different, unique about Orla that makes it mutter above and beyond the regular rules of speaking? So there is a Ran, and I didn't put the Ran in the Rambam cover, so the Ran of Masechet Kedushim has the following suggestion that, let's go back to the Rambam's line of reasoning for a second. According to the Rambam, all speakers are mutter in the Torah. So if I have a piece of chaz, there's a 50-50 chance chaz is allowed to eat it lechatchila. Says Ron, what would the din be if it's 60-40? What if it's 80-20? What are the odds of pointing in the direction that it's probably chaz? It smells a little bit like chaz. I'm not sure, I don't know for certain, but I would put it statistically, 80% chance it's probably chaz. So comes around and says, the Rambam would never say that's mutter in the Torah. For sure that's also in the Torah. That's not a suffix. When do we say that speakers are mutter in the Torah? That's when you have what's called a suffix shuffle. When you have a 50-50 suffix, you go easily. Either way, that's a suffix shuffle. Suffix shuffle is mutter min haTorah. When you have a robe in the direction of Isser, even the Rambam would agree that that would be also min haTorah. Says the Ran, that's the chiddush of suffix olas chutzlaret. The suffix olas chutzlaret is so mutter that even if the odds are it probably is Orla, 9 out of 10 chances it really is Orla, it's still mutter. So the chiddush of Sofik Olas Chutzlaret is that the standards of Sveikis, the Kol Torah Kula, are only said when it's a Sofik HaShokha, when it's a 50-50. But once you have the tilting in the direction of being Osir, you have no right to be Makel by other Yisurim, but by Olas Chutzlaret, you can even be Makel even there. So how did the Ran know this? How did the Ran know that you could be so lenient for Olas Chutzlaret, even if there's a 90% chance that you have a problem on your hands? So we got this out of the Gemara in the first of the Maamar Kovetz. It's a long, long sugya of Maseches Brachos. So we're really going to just snip out a little small pieces of it. What the Gemara is talking about is as follows. The Gemara is discussing a certain kind of a tree, because a sloth tree, it's actually a bush, I mean, call it in English, a caper bush, and it produces fruit, berries, some kind of a berry. And there are two oral questions about this berry. Number one, we're not even sure that oral applies entirely to this berry, because, quite frankly, we're not even sure this is a tree. This may not halachically be a tree. That's really a very, very tricky question. When something is a vegetable, when something is a tree, we already know from Luchas Brachos, that's not always so clear which is which. You know, bananas and pineapples, it's not always so poshut what the brach in any given fruit slash vegetable is. So this particular slav tree happens to be a machlekes, that's annoying, whether it's even a tree altogether. And if it's not a tree, then obviously all it doesn't apply to it. But then there was a second machlekes, even a niach that it's called the tree and called the fruit and all applies to it, does oil apply only to the flesh of the fruit? What about to the peels of the fruit? If a guy wants to take off the peel, the shell, and eat the peel, would that be a violation of eating the fruit of oil or not? That's a further machlekes hatanan. So again, you have two different issues. One was, is there oil here altogether? And number two, in the blood that there's oil here, does that apply only to the fruit part, the edible part, or does it apply even to the shell? So the Gemara has the following. Take a look at the second paragraph, the first of the Ma'amakamos. Ravina Ashkeche Lemaiber of Ashi, because Zorik of Yonos, the Ka'ocha Kafritin. Ravina once saw Maiber of Ashi, obviously they both lived in Babel, that Maiber of Ashi was throwing out the fruity part, the edible part, and he was eating the part that wasn't so great. I mean, edible, not Mifsal Gamre, but it wasn't the primary part of the fruit. He was eating the peels of this particular caper bush, this particular tzalaf. So the question is, what was it based on? How did he have a right to be makel just like that? Isn't this a shail of Orla? So comes the Gemara and says, no, this is Orla's Chutzlaret. Ravina and Ma'abra Vashem was in Bavel. So the worst that this was Orla's Chutzlaret. And since there's a suffix, whether Orla even applies, so it's called suffix Orla's Chutzlaret being Musa. So notice that Ma'abra Vashem was not eating entirely the entire fruit. He wasn't willing to be makel that Orla doesn't apply altogether. He was just willing to be makel that the shells are not included. So Amalei, so Ravina asked him, my daitech, Rabbi Akiva de Mekil, you're following the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, who says the peels are not like the fruit. Beloved Mark, Beshamay de Mekil Tzvei. Why don't you follow Beshamay's view? Beshamay with the Tanoim, who said it's not even a fruit altogether. So Rabbi Akiva held it is a fruit, but only the fruity part, not the shell part. And Beshamay held it's not a fruit altogether. So Ravina said to Mav Rav Ashi, Imkar Asklar, if you're already being Mekil, if you already believe that all Sveikas and all Chutzpahs go to Kula, then you should be Mekil entirely, even on the fruit itself. So finally, the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says, if you take a look, the end of the Bar Mochom, it's the second line from the bottom. Rabbi Akiva b'mochom Rabbi Eliezer abdinim kapasei, or b'sham b'mochom b'tzil in the Mishnah. The Gemara says, no. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer had a machlokes about whether the shell is considered to be part of the fruit. It could be, maybe Rabbi Akiva is right, maybe he's not right, we're not sure. We have a right to be Mekel. But when it comes to Beishamai against Beishilel, Beishamai is so outvoted, Beishamai Shita is so rejected la halacha, that we don't even consider it to be a suffix anymore. So Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Lazar, head to head, try to figure out who's right, who's not right, you follow him. So you can still argue, it's like the suffix, and therefore suffix all is chutzot is mutter, and therefore we have a right to eat the shells. We don't have to be so mach where you're allowed to eat the shells. But to turn around and say you can eat the entire fruit, turn around and say there's no oil altogether, because you're relying on Beshamay Shita. Nah, Beshamay Bokam Beisil Alein Mishnah. So what do you see with this Gemara? That whenever you have a suffix in Halacha, whether something is oil or chutzpah or not all svekas are created equal. Some svekas you have a right to be made one, and other svekas you don't have a right to be made one. Comes the Gemara in the middle of this sugya and says, you're allowed to be Mekel, like the lenient view, even if it's a yachid b'mokam rabim, even if it's outvoted, even if most of the tanoim hold the other way, as long as there wasn't an official, formal b'sham b'mokam b'shil in a mishnah, there wasn't an absolute, complete rejection of that shita, even though it's a minority view, you're still allowed to rely on that view. So comes the Ran and says, you see from this Gemara, even though the rov ha'chavim says also, rove opinions on the page say this is fruit. Rove opinions say this is oil. Rove opinions say this is a deraita. It doesn't matter. Is that suffix or chutzot is mutal legamre belishim. So everything is okay. Everything is fine. It's heta gomer to rely on all of chutzot even if there's a rove against you. Comes around and says, I'll tell you another chiddush of all of chutzot above and beyond the regular rules of faking. What would the din be as follows? What would the halacha be? Let's say I know that something is asur, but you don't know it's asur. It's chazer. I know this is chazer, and you have no idea that it's chazer. Would anybody in the wildest dreams say I'm allowed to give it to you? That's crazy. I'm going to give it to you. It's just evil. It's not allowed to be makshu you to eat chazer. So you don't know about it. Well, I'm going to tell you I can't give it to you. Comes the Gemara and says the startling thing about all this chutzaret. You're allowed to lechatchila give it to somebody else as long as that other person doesn't know about it. So I know that it's orla. I planted this tree. I know exactly that it's 100,000% orla. And it's mutlach and chil to give it to my neighbor. As long as they don't tell them that it's orla. Why not? What's pshat? So the Gemara seems to be saying that's called suffix orla chutzpah. What's the suffix? I don't have a suffix, but he has a suffix. What the Gemara is saying is that when it comes to orla chutzpah, what you don't know doesn't hurt you. It's called yediyah sa'isr is the kaveh of the isr. Only usur if and when you know that it's usur. What you don't know doesn't hurt you, and you don't even have to bother looking into it. And I can lechatchila give it to you, and that's not a problem. Because from my vantage point, I'm not eating it. From your vantage point, you don't know about it. So it's het gomer. This is a wild din. This is a chudish of din. I would never ever said this in any other area of halacha. That's exactly what you need halacha mashim sinai for it. That's exactly the reason why. Kach nemer halacha mashim sinai. Oil of chutzot is so mekil. It breaks all the rules of all svekas. Not only is the suffix a shakal mutter, even a rove against you is mutter. Not only if you have no idea whether it's also, even if you know that it's also, it's still mutter to give it to somebody else. Everything goes. Everything's mutter by all the chutzlars. So based on this idea that everything now becomes mutter, based on the fact that it's all the chutzlars, now we understand exactly why. I walk into a store, I don't even have to do the research. I don't even have to ask. I don't even have to investigate. In Eretz Yisrael, I'm not allowed to do that. In Eretz Yisrael, I have to make sure the food is not oral. That's why any reputable Ashkacha in Eretz Yisrael will be Naki Bechashash oral. They'll do the research for you. You can't just stop walking to a guy's orchard and start eating fruit because maybe it's a Chashash of oral. Right? You can't do it anyway because it's Gazela. But even if you would tell you, you have to be certain that it's not orla. In chutzlots, you don't even have to make any investigations. So if there are any judicious hakiras, what you don't know doesn't hurt you. So that's the answer ultimately to our question. Why is it that we go into the store and we buy fruit and we don't think about it, we don't ask about it, we don't investigate about it? The answer is because you're not required to do so. That's all nichol and the din of all the chutzlots being mutter, suffik all the chutzlots being mutter. Suffik all the chutzlots being mutter means that kolzman you don't have a yediyah vados, which some might say don't have. To be absent of the yediyah vados, everything is okay. So we can now take this idea that you need an absolute yediyah in order to have a problem, and we can run with this. We can extrapolate this. We can expand this. There are many, many shahs that come up l'maisa in chutzlaret, and we have a right to be makil based on this idea of, without the yediyah vados, there's nothing to worry about. I remember one time I had the shahs for myself when we used to live in Paramus, so we had a non-Jewish and next door neighbor, and they used to always grow tomatoes and berries, all kinds of different things they were planting. And they once called me over and they said, oh, we have these delicious new berries that we just harvested. And we just we have some new plants and some old plants, and even the berries. I thought, oh my goodness gracious, berries are chashash fruit. I didn't want to ask them the question. You're not mechuv to ask the question. In Eretz Yisrael, I would have had to ask the question. Chutz Lots, you don't have to ask the question. If they would say to me, I'm telling you 100% these are this year's berries, and we just planted the bush last year, that would be all government. That would be all the toast bothered. That would be a problem. But usually that's not what happens. They would tell me, yeah, we have a whole bunch of berries from last year, this year. Try out all. You're not mechuv to even ask. You're not even mechuv to mevar. Suffering all the chutz lots is het gomel legamrei. There's no yediyah, nothing. As long as you have yediyah, you're good to go. There is another common shah. I've got the shah already several times. Berries are generally an eight. Yeah. Most berries are eight. There are some berries that make strawberries a little bit different, but many, many berries are eight. What? A bush is an eight. The bush is considered to be an eight. So there is a din in Hilchos Brachos that if you have a tree that grows very, very close to the ground, there's a minhag in many communities to only make a bar per adama on such things. It's not clear where that minhag comes from, and that minhag in Hilchos Brachos probably doesn't impact the Hilchos Orla. Hilchos Orla doesn't seem to be a shear. It doesn't matter how low it grows. In eights, the difference between eights and a vegetable is an eight you plant at once and that lasts for deris. Whereas a vegetable has to be replanted every year. No, a lot of them do. You're talking different berries. There are different kinds of berries. There are some berries that are new fruits and that are new trees, and there are others that are not.
Cranberries grow in the water. They're not as much stem.
Where?
Cranberries. They grow in a flood area. The bog. The stems are floating on the
water. Well, cranberries go the way.
I think
so. It'll find out. Okay, next week, Shiloh. Cranberries, okay. I like cranberries.
If you don't ask, it's mutter.
Don't ask. That's right. That's fair. Should then don't ask. So this shadow comes up also. I've had the shadow already a couple of times. There is a whole discussion in the Shnayis and Maseches Orla about what if a person replants a tree. It means you take part of a tree out of the ground, you take part of it, and you replant it somewhere else. Does the 3 year start counting over again? Or do I say this part that I'm planting comes from an old tree? This tree's been around for the last 20 years, so it's already past the years of Orla. So basically, the din is as follows. If you uproot a sapling, so you uproot something with soil, if it could survive with that little bit of soil that it still has, so it's still considered to be part of the original tree. If it would die unless it's replanted right away, so then it's considered to be a brand new tree. So the poskim points out that most of us don't know the answer to that question, unless you're a real super duper expert botanist. You're probably not going to know the answer to that question. Now the question is, what do you do about that information? Now I just bought this tree and I'm replanting the tree and I have no clue whether it's orla or not because I don't know. I'm not an expert. I don't know the answer. So many folks can say, that's also called suffik or orla. That's suffik. Anytime there's a suffik, there's a suffik in Matthias, there's a suffik in Alocha, Lachet, Yediyah, suffik orla, Chutzot, Hetta, Gomer, Lagamri, nothing at all to be concerned with. There's another application of the Shaila. When you have a... a question of oil of chutzlars. He's saying that oil of chutzlars, if I know I'm not allowed to eat it, but I'm allowed to give it to somebody else. So there is a discussion in the Gemara in the third Pech of the Sukkah about using an esrog shel oil. He said, I live in Eretz Yisrael, and I have an esrog tree, and I know the first 3 years of the esrog tree, you're not allowed to use those esrogim. Why not? So it's not 100% clear in the Gemara. Why not? One of the reasons is because since it's also banah, maybe it's not considered to be yours, or if it's also banah, maybe it's supposed to be burnt. There are different reasons why the din is true. But the bottom line is that if it's an esrog shel oila, then it's a problem. There are some poskim who say, b'medva memurim, that if it's an esrog shel oila seretz Yisrael. But if it's an esrog shel oila chutz laaretz, that could be okay. Why? Because the esrog is not really also banah. I can give it to somebody else. If you have an esrog shel oila seretz Yisrael, which is also lachol, it's also even without yedia. So then once it's chalon, the same cheftis of orla, so it's off limits, you can't use it for the mitzvah nesher either. But orla's chutzoret, so I could give it to somebody else, and it's had to come. I just don't tell them that it's orla, there's nothing wrong with that. So maybe there's nothing really wrong with the cheftis, maybe the esher would be kosher, even for me. So remember years ago, someone was hacking about that shaila, about they were planting a shrogum trees in South Carolina. And they wanted to know if they were growing a shrug in the first 3 years, whether they had to be chayshish or not. That's the further discussion. I remember we once had a shayla, somebody asked me about birchas ha'ilonos. If they had a tree that was within the first 3 years, apparently it was considered some fruit, and they wanted to know, can they make the bracha on birchas ha'ilonos on that? But the problem is that the nuscha, the bracha, birchas ha'ilonos, that we say in Chedesh Nisan is the honos v'em b'nei adam. We praise the Chedesh bracha for giving us fruit that we're allowed to enjoy. I can't enjoy it. It's also banah. So some wanted to say, no, in Eretz Yisrael, it's not awesome. I know you can't use it. Yeah, I give it to somebody else. I can't be Nana, but another Ben Adam could be Nana. I give it to somebody else to enjoy it. And maybe that would be acceptable. So you have all these differences, nuanced differences between Eretz Yisrael versus the Torah, that yes, fundamentally, the dinim of oil apply to both. So the Mishnah says, Allah Hashem Sinai, you have to observe oil of Bein Beretz or Bein Chutzor. But the differences are many, 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 many important differences. So the first and foremost difference is that Tzveikas in Eretz Yisrael are Osir, Tzveikas and Chutzor are Mutter. Tzveikas and Chutzor are so Mutter, even if there's a rove against you, it's still Mutter. Tzveikas are so Mutter and Chutzor that even if you're not even Mechuyif to look into the Sofik, you're not even Mechuyif to investigate. Tzveikas are so Mutter that even if I know it's Osir, but you don't know it's Osir, I don't even have to tell you. Tzveikas are so Mutter that maybe the Esrog is good for the Mitzvah, maybe you can make Mahanas for the Riyadim. There's so many, so many differences in Halacha. In response to the fellow who asked me one day this week, how come when you go to Eretz Yisrael, so you see these signs of law that say, Naki b'chashash orla, nobody ever saw those signs of chutzlaret? The answer is exactly for this reason. Because the standards are so different that even though they're both deraisa, one's a pascha, one's a lacha moshe b'tzidah, they're both deraisa, but they're so radically different from one another that in Eretz Yisrael, all sfeikas are asur, and chutzlaret all sfeikas are mutter. And sfeikas are so mutter, you don't have to look into it, therefore there's no need. You can go back to the farm and buy whatever apples and oranges, whatever you want to eat, and you don't have to even worry in case it's oil. The only time you have a problem with oil, if you know with absolute certainty that it's oil, then you can't eat it, but you can give it to somebody else. Just don't tell them. So that's the special, unique halach of this halach.
You can serve it like a...
Right, as long as you're not eating. Right. They ask you, why are you eating? I'm allergic to oranges. You said you wouldn't think you should eat it. You should eat it for a lot of things, and if your wife doesn't know, each person on their own, true. Because it's not also. It's only also with the everyday system. That's the word.
And it goes by where the fruit's grown, right? Not physically.
Right. You could have something that grew in Eretz Yisrael. And now, if you remember the case we had with the clementines a couple of years ago, we had these Israeli clementines that had a serious suffix, whether they're from oil or not. Yeah. We tried to treat them the chumra, even though the shot was in Burgenfield, but they came from Eretz Yisrael. You had to be machmen.
Vice versa, if I bring an apple from here. Israel.
Right, that's all right.
There are
these on Orla also? Orla, regular Orla for sure. Orla schutzor is not 100% clear. I think you bother with the kasha. If it's also by Noah, how can I give it to somebody else? Oh, if you're Mechavit Hashem, Shmash, this kasha. So the Baal Tzayis asks that kasha. He says, how can it be? I give it to somebody else. He says, if it's also by Noah, isn't it giving it to somebody else? An act of Hanah. So one could argue that was also Nichol and Allah Choshim Zinah. That Nichol and Allah Choshim Zinah is, you're allowed to give it away. You're allowed to do it. So I said, no, it doesn't matter. Again, that's clear what the answer to that question is. But you're right. Yes. All the chutzot probably is also my nozzle.
The farmer tells you, don't ask the farmer, but he happens to tell you that he has to be two.
That is oil?
Two-year-old.
Yeah, they have a problem. They can't eat it. That's also their right.
Doesn't
matter. He told you not.
He has enough of the man,
Erecha nem bisur. Erecha nem bisur. If he tells you if he's a midas chaz, you have to believe more. You have to believe in this. Okay, we'll stop now.
In Nida, a woman doesn't look for certain things because what?
It was like Ksamim, because Ksamim also the same idea. It's Ksamim only did grab them, and we don't know about that. This is like a rice.
Okay.
And that.